Oh, it's that time. We're going to get our weekly view from the north. You can find all he's up to for Comcast Sportsnet. Go online, visit CSNNW.com. You can see him with the crew talking ball. Comcast Channel 737 on my Xfinity system. Engage on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, a very good Thursday to you. How's it going?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
You there?
You still there? I said, how you doing?
It's
a very common greeting among American sports people.
I missed it. My bad.
I switched ears
and missed it.
I gotcha. So where are we as far as when you guys go from talking ball to talking ducks on CSNNW?
Well, talking ball is year-round. Talking ducks starts the Tuesday before the first game.
I gotcha. All right,
that'll be three
weeks from next Tuesday.
Correct.
All right. I actually got a rare question. Somebody who texted me said that they've been listening to you and I talk for a couple of years. They're apparently a Chicagoan, big Bears fan, and he said if he was taking a survey, would I ask you, as a Bears fan, who's your most hated rival? Is it as easy as the Packers, the Vikings? Is it worth hating the Lions? Or could we just all agree you should just hate the Cowboys?
It's the Packers, easily.
Easily?
Easily.
All right. I thought it was that, but...
Because there was a stretch there, too, with Favre. Oh, my God, where it seemed like every time they played, Favre was just lighting up the Bears until Lovie came. Lovie put the spec down on Favre. But, man, there was like a 10-year stretch where Brett Favre was just lighting up the Bears. On Monday night, too, there was some Monday night games there. I was all excited for, and they'd come on at 6 o'clock, and by 6:20, I was like, trying to watch some MASH reruns or something because it was just so bad.
Very nice. Before we get into football, I saw you with Dwight Janes and Jason Quick talking about the Blazers. And, you know, with all the depth they've acquired, the question, I guess, who would be the starting five? So Jason had one idea. Janes added a tweak. You added a wrinkle. What was your suggestion for Terry Stotts?
Well, I saw Dwight's starting five beforehand, so I wanted to make mine a little bit different just so we have something to debate. I'm really not wedded to anything, but I had Lillard, McCollum, Crabbe. I just can't imagine Turner coming in and just beating out Crabbe when Crabbe had a better all-around season last year than Turner did for Boston.
Right.
And it seems like if you're going to bring back Crabbe, even though you signed Turner for depth, you brought back Crabbe to start. But I agree with Jason that situationally there are going to be times when maybe Turner plays more minutes, depending on the opponent. And then I had Leonard at the four. They both had Amino, I think.
Yep.
And then I had Festus Ezeli, which I just kind of threw out there just to be contrarian, just because
not you.
I think he gives them what they're going to need, which is going to be a defensive player who can go back to the basket a little bit. But they both made the point that he might not be healthy enough to warrant starter minutes. But I don't think minutes and starting go together with this team. I think who starts is almost going to be irrelevant because depending how a game goes and what the matchups look like, the minutes are going to fluctuate.
Sure.
And what's going to be fascinating is that – so if you look at the team right now and you say that Davis or Harkless is your 10th guy, Davis was really productive last year. Harkless was making $10 million a year. So no matter what you have, there's going to be some controversy on this team. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens when they go from last year where everything was all us against the world and they bonded before the season and you had so many guys who were, like, playing not for their careers but playing to prove themselves, like McCollum and Crabbe and Leonard and Davis coming over from the Lakers and Plumlee, you know, who was a bench guy in New Jersey starting now. You know, all these guys who had something to prove. And now most of them are not only getting paid, they're getting paid. Like, it's not P-A-I-D, it's P-A-Y-I-E-E-D with an exclamation mark paid. And so with that, you know, guys think they're getting paid because they're great and they want to be out there and prove it. And so, you know, there's only so many minutes to go around. It's 48 times 5. 240 minutes, and you got to find that for 10 guys. That's not even counting Noah Vonleh, who started a lot last year and played 20 minutes a game. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can maintain that team chemistry, especially on nights when guys are making are playing fewer minutes than the amount of millions they make in a season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be ever-evolving as we continue with Aaron Fentress. So while many in this business fancy themselves a coach, I need for you to explain what you had posted on your Facebook. Who are the Raiders, and what is the PFL?
Oh, PFL is Pacific Football League, the semi-pro football league that I coach in. I've been coaching semi-pro football forever. We won a league title Saturday night against the Springfield Buzzards. Very good team.
Nice.
That we got straight up lucky. We were down 21-7 in the fourth and rallied to win. They fumbled in overtime after we kicked the field goal, but I'll take it.
Coach Fentress.
Coach Fentress.
Something I didn't realize all
you
these years right
no,
under my nose.
You knew I coached a semi-pro team. You had to have, no?
You know, I know the truth. I don't think I did. I saw that, and I was like, I've known you all these years, like 7 years. It's like, well, I guess I can't call you a braggart.
It had to have come up at some point, and I post stuff on Facebook periodically. But no, I've been head coach now for 10 seasons. I think my record is like 125-10 or something, with seven championships.
Aaron Lombardi,
Dynasty,
gotta love it.
Exactly.
So, one of the things I come across here, and I know it's not unique to Oregon fans. I just think it within a fan base, there's kind of this element who's always talking about we're not respected, whether it's East Coast bias, sense of entitlement. So I'm looking at this Oregon team, and it's something we've talked about. You know, two new coordinators, new quarterback. They were horrible on defense most of last year. New front seven, all they lost. And yet, they came out in the top 25 in the first coaches poll.
Of course.
And I'm thinking, you know, I see Oregon as a program that actually gets the benefit of the doubt nationally, right or wrong.
Well, okay, when I saw the 22nd in the coaches poll, don't you said?
Yeah, it's either 22nd or 22nd, yeah.
Okay, so my initial thing was like, wait a minute. But then think about this. There's six major conferences, right?
Right.
So the top four from each conference, give or take, you know, some overlap, what have you, would make up your top 25. They were picked to finish fifth times six conferences would be at worst 30th. So mathematically, they would be between 25 and 30, and they end up 22nd. So my point being is that each conference is going to have anywhere from 3 to 6 teams ranked. And so if you're picked to finish five in a pretty good conference, you probably would end up being ranked.
Huh. Interesting take. Went totally over my head, by the way. So, well done there.
Do I need to flow chart this one for you?
Yes, fax it to me.
I think at one point last year, there were 5 or 6 teams from the Pac-12 ranked. I'm not sure how it finished. And 2 years ago, I think they finished with 5 or 6 ranked. So, yeah, if Oregon's picked to finish fifth, then, yeah, it stands to reason that they would, you know, at least be ranked in the top 30. So 22nd isn't too far off. Plus, it's still Oregon. They still have that little bit of a juice. So, and I know I've had a coaches poll different than AP poll, but when I had an AP vote, you're doing that preseason poll, you're looking at returners, who stars were, what they did last year, how they finished. And then at some point you just go, ah, screw it. I'll put it this way.
Right.
I'll put it in this order.
No, I'm saying, see, you're using math and logic and facts, which completely go over my head. So on the site, I saw you and Bree Amaranthus had an interesting conversation, and we have some geniuses out there with handles like @FireHelfrich or the hashtag FireMarkHelfrich. So in your opinion, A, how clueless is this? And what would it take for Health to actually head into next year with, he might be coaching for, if not his job, for a warmer seat?
Right. I think anything 8-4 or better, I think he's really safe. I think anything below that, I think there's going to be some grumblings.
Right.
And my sensibilities would be to say you'd have to have, you know, 3 mediocre seasons before you even consider a change. And to me, last year, 9 wins to me isn't really mediocre. I mean, it's like, it's not great, but it's not bad. And this idea that you're going to win 10, 11, 12 every year is just never going to happen. No one's ever going to do that. I mean, even even Urban Meyer at Florida, they won a couple of national titles, and then they went 9-5. You know, it's just no matter who you are, at some point you're going to have that sub-10 win season, even at the major marquee programs that win national titles. So Oregon doing it shouldn't even be a hiccup for some it is, and it's just ridiculous. But, you know, if he won 7, 8, 6, you know, in the next 3 years, I think there would be some grumbling. But I will say this, though. He pulled the plug on Pelham after one bad season. And to me, I wonder if that is either an indication that he felt some pressure from outside the program, or he honestly felt Pelham couldn't get it done, even though Pelham got it done in 2014. And if that is an indication that maybe he doesn't have as much of a leash as some people might think, that if he can pull the plug after one bad season, does he think someone could pull the plug on him after one overall bad season? If you take Vernon Adams out of the mix last year, they're 4-8, 5-7. I think most people would agree with that.
Oh,
maybe
definitely.
It's best 6-6. And so this year, you know, Prue Cup's going to be the savior, and they got Travis Johnson. They got problems with, not problems, but interesting things going on defense. I could easily see them going 8-4. And if Prue Cup got hurt and Travis wasn't ready and some other things go wrong, 7-5. And so maybe he feels like he has a shorter leash than I think he does, and that's why he pulled the plug on Pelham. Or maybe he has a realistic leash in that they just went to the national championship 2 years ago. They went 9-4 last year, which it shouldn't be the end of the world, and he has a couple more years to prove his wares before anything significant happens to him.
All right, one final thought along those lines. Would he consider more pressure on himself last year because it was the first year of that big deal he signed, and now all of a sudden he's a coach making $3.5 million a year, and maybe in his mind, you know, a little more to protect there?
He might. You mean is he putting more pressure on himself because he signed a big contract?
Yeah.
I mean, that stands the reason. I think most people do that. You start getting paid, you know, twice what you were making before. Sometimes there's that feeling you better live up to it. You know, but at the same time, you know, there's only so much you can do. And I still think Oregon is in that zone right now where they have to raise their recruiting profile to stay a national contender. They can't get by with the system being a shock to everybody like it was in the system's heyday, and the fact that they do not have a guy on the roster who is as transcendent as Mariota. So I think the Ducks are in for a long, long stretch here where they're going to be really, really good sometimes, and then they're going to be average other times, and that's just life.
All right. Hey, first of all, congratulations on another PFL title. catch his work.
I'm awaiting my endorsements.
Oh, yeah. Standing by the mailbox. Just waiting. That's awesome. CSNNW.com, at Aaron J. Ventress on Twitter. Will I see you on Monday?
You will.
Awesome.
I'm
travel safe.
Looking forward to it.
You travel safe, and we'll talk next week.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Take it easy.